You're listening to Stranglehold. I'm Lauren Chooljian.
And I'm Jason Moon.
And this podcast has been a little different than most political podcasts, I would say. We've been focusing less on the candidates and more on the institution of the New Hampshire primary and the power that this thing has had for so long and what it looks like now.
And that is why we were pretty excited.
Very excited.
When we got this voicemail from a listener.
Saved message sent by a public caller. Friday, November 1st, time 10:09 a.m.
Good morning. This is Representative Marjorie Smith calling.
It was from a longtime New Hampshire Democrat, Marjorie Smith, who wanted to show us something.
I thought you might be interested, or I hope you'd be interested, in an invitation to what might very well be one of the last old-fashioned New Hampshire primary chats, and to see how at least it used to be done and what the value is in it without all the game playing. So I'd love to hear from you, and in any event, love to perhaps commiserate with you about what I see as the death of the New Hampshire primary.
The last old-fashioned primary chat. The death of the New Hampshire primary? This is like made for Stranglehold. Obviously, we're going. She lives in a very beautiful house. This old-fashioned primary chat that she invited us to, it was a house party for Colorado Senator and, of course, presidential candidate Michael Bennett.
Now, house party in the context of the primary, that usually means a candidate comes to someone's living room and the owner of that living room invites over their friends and neighbors. That sounds kind of boring now that I've described it, but it's important to know that house parties, they have this special place in the mythos of the New Hampshire primary.
Right. The boring is kind of the ideal thing, right? It's just a bunch of people talking to each other. It just so happens that one of them's running for president and the rest are just your everyday normal voters, and it's direct democracy at its finest in the legend of the thing.
Right. That's the house party. So we show up to Marjorie's house party about an hour early, walk up to her house. It's this beautiful house on the river, and we ring the doorbell.
Hello.
I'm in the corner and I see a microphone.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bad sign.
Hi, Lauren. I'm Marjorie
Great
Smith.
Great to meet
you. Hi, Jason. Good to see you again.
Come on in.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Very excited about the invite.
Well, I don't know. Why would you be very excited about the invite? Don't you get lots of invitations?
So Marjorie Smith, she's a major figure in the state Democratic Party. She's had a hand in lots of big pieces of legislation, but she's not a household name. She's more of an institutionalist.
And you could see that clearly the minute that we walked into her living room, because as we're getting settled to talk to her, I spotted this framed picture of President Obama holding a child and then some guy with President Bill Clinton. Turns out the child is her granddaughter and her son is the one next to President Clinton.
Well, evidence that politics is not new to you, clearly. Politics is not new to me, no. Let's see. Politics is not new to me.
She's kind of like reaching through these photos. There's a stack of them all leaned up against each other. And she reaches back in this stack of frames and she's looking for one in particular.
That's Gore and my husband. Wait, this is Peter and Hillary. Wait. This is what I'm looking for. No, this is what I'm looking for. There I am.
Whoa.
When I'm a baby. And that is, if you were a lot older, you would not have to know than see the name. You would recognize the face, but that's Franklin Roosevelt Jr.
So clearly the political connections run deep in this household.
You could say that. Eventually, we sit down in her living room and start to chat. And we asked her, what did you mean by the death of the primary?
I believe that the Democratic National Committee has moved aggressively to create what I think of as a national primary rather than a state-based primary.
So, of course, this is an idea that a lot of people around here have been talking about, that because the DNC has set these thresholds for the debates that are based on national polls and national fundraising figures, that's taking away from New Hampshire's power.
I think that that has created something that I don't believe is helpful. Those are not debates. We call them debates, but they're not. They're dog and pony shows.
Right, but Marjorie is also saying here that that pressure for candidates to hit those national numbers, that that's not just taking power away from New Hampshire, it's changing how the primary actually happens here in New Hampshire on the ground. And for the worse, in her opinion. Marjorie sees the primary shifting away from these small, intimate events in people's living rooms to bigger and bigger events that feel more scripted and are more focused on how it's going to look on social media.
And Marjorie's concerned that there's going to be ripple effects to this. She's already seen some so far, potentially even in this podcast, talking about bird dogging at candidate events. If you don't remember bird dogging, you should check out episode 6.
Check it out.
So the point Marjorie's making here is that as candidates have grown more prepackaged, so too have voters' questions.
The bird dogging offends me.
Huh.
Because it's contrived.
Or she'll point to how the selfie is becoming the most common form of voter-candidate interaction.
Where's the substance? Where's the substance?
A lot of people wait in that line.
I know. So it obviously has a meaning.
Yes.
But is it the meaning that is central to deciding who should be the president of the United States? I don't know.
So this is really why Marjorie invited us over to this house party for Michael Bennet. It's not really about Michael Bennet at all. It's about seeing the house party and showing us why this style of campaigning is better for democracy than a selfie line.
I should probably see what's happening.
Sure. You have guests in your home, it looks like.
And with that, people start kind of slowly filing into her house, and Marjorie immediately switches into host mode. You can tell she's done this a few times.
Now help yourself, because the butler is not available.
So people start to come in, maybe 40, mm-hmm, maybe
I
more.
Think so.
The folks are mostly older. There's a handful who are current or former local politicians. There's some chit-chat, there's some snacking, and then eventually Marjorie ushers everyone upstairs to a room where Bennet is going to speak.
You're probably wondering why I brought you all together. And I brought you all together for really a great reason and an old New Hampshire reason. And that is, I am trying hard to keep alive what makes New Hampshire the perfect breeding ground for presidential candidates. And fortunately, I found a live one.
So Michael Bennet gets up, starts to do his, stump speech thing.
Extremely grateful to have the chance, Marjorie, to be here with all of you and in this beautiful place. What an incredible house and what an amazing setting.
And while Bennet is talking, I noticed Marjorie, she kind of stands behind him a little bit, hovering, and she's watching the crowd, very intently. And at first, I couldn't really tell if she's just trying to, assess the room, soak in the moment for herself, or more that she's trying to make sure everyone is paying attention and trying to get from their faces what they're getting out of it.
So I have a couple of questions, and the answers for you can be yes or no.
I'm actually asking a question on behalf of my 14-year-old who's not able to join us in the room
at
the moment.
You.
My husband's got a video so we can show her your reply. She's home doing homework.
But could you be more broad about, how you really can generate the revenue to do the things that need to be done in this country?
That's a great question. So,
it's heartbreaking.
Well,
that's what I feel like we're leaving to our children and our grandchildren, a world of bullshit.
The last point I totally agree with.
Now, I think this is really what Marjorie wanted us to see, the question and answer period where regular people were able to ask questions about whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. There were real back and forths. By my count, Bennet took 11 questions and stayed well beyond the point at which his staff wanted him to leave.
And some of the questions that people asked, they were about the exact thing we were talking about with Marjorie, the power of the primary.
I'm sorry, Marjorie.
Okay. So this is what I want to say. People in New Hampshire have a big responsibility.
And people in New Hampshire are confused about what to do with that responsibility. I know a few people who have their candidate and they're committed, but I know many more, as I said, are confused. So how are you going to win New Hampshire?
by unconfusing you. No, look.
So, but how much time will you spend?
I'm going to spend a lot of time here, and the way I'm going to win it is by being in living room after living room after living room after living room, answering every question that Margie will let me answer, and cutting me off when I've gone on too long. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to do it. And
so clearly, Bennett is Team Marjorie when it comes to how the primary is supposed to happen. But I think we should say here that living rooms are basically Bennett's only choice at this point.
Yeah, because he's polling very, very low. He is really trying to make as many inroads he can as far as name ID. And it's November.
So it could be principle or it could just be the realities of the situation.
I'm sad to say this, but if I don't leave, I'm going to miss my flight and then we'll miss my dental appointment in the morning, which, you know, that won't be good.
So after Bennett finishes, people are starting to get their coats and say their goodbyes to Marjorie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was delightful.
Thank you.
He's a hot tomato.
Well, yeah, you could say that. I mean, I think he... I don't know what a hot tomato is.
It means it's really good. Okay. I like them a lot. And I thank you for putting this together.
Anyway, after most people have left, Marjorie looks at us and she says,
"So I rest my case."
You rest your case?
I rest my case. What you saw tonight was unstaged, unprogrammed. No planted questions. A group of thoughtful, concerned New Hampshire voters who asked questions and listened, and they gained energy, and so did he.
And you know, there is some truth to what she's saying. There was no bird dogging. Voters did get to have exchanges with the candidate, and you know, afterwards, Michael Bennett told us that it did stick with him. So you could see what Marjorie was talking about.
But we should also say that Marjorie gets how this will sound.
It's stuffy and it's old-fashioned and it's naive. And I understand all of that.
But she really also believes that this way of campaigning is better for all of us.
Marjorie uses this metaphor that I've been thinking about a lot, which is that the New Hampshire primary used to be like shows that wanted to get on Broadway but had to go to smaller places first to make sure that they were good enough for Broadway. And the idea there is that candidates would come here to learn and grow and kind of figure things out. They'd pick up things from voters, their character would get shaped by the experience, and then by the end, only the best shows would make it to Broadway.
It is the only way that we can open up the possibility to people who don't arrive fully formed with a retinue of people who will tell them what color shirts to wear and what to say and who to talk to and who not to talk to, and don't whisper in their ear and say, that person's important, that person we don't know, don't worry, don't bother with them. And that's what happened in the New Hampshire primary, and that is changing.
So that's one vision of how the primary should be done. Small conversations in a small state between voters and candidates, a training ground. But, you know, we also wanted to see a different perspective. We wanted to talk to somebody who sees that the primary is changing but thinks it's a good thing.
Right, so something like the opposite of a house party.
With a long selfie line.
We'll get to that after a break.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So, if house parties represent one style of the New Hampshire primary, perhaps the opposite experience is the rally. One person who's been holding a lot of rallies lately is Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. And we went to a recent rally of hers at a high school in Exeter, New Hampshire, about 20 minutes or so from Marjorie's house.
And people are already lining up inside the high school through the hallways to get in. In fact, we should walk down and see how long the line is.
There's check-in tables, there's vendors selling stuff. It's kind of like the difference between like going to a small party at your friend's house versus like going to the club.
The club? I haven't been to many clubs, Jason, but
I've never been to a club.
There are lines outside them that I've driven by.
From the movies.
The movies. Yeah, all right. Well,
anyways, we didn't want to just experience this on our own. We wanted guides for the experience like we had at the house party. So we reached out to the Warren campaign to set us up with someone who would be excited about the rally, someone local.
Hi, Warren.
This is Warren with
NHPR. Hey, it is nice to meet you.
Great to meet you.
Hi.
Jason Moon. Nice to meet you.
So we meet our guides in the lobby of this high school where Warren is giving her speech. Their names are Deborah Altshuler and Gabby Grossman, and they're both Democrats. They're also both state reps like Marjorie, but they're younger and haven't been around as long as she has. So we fill them in on the experience we had at Marjorie's house party and how Marjorie thinks the New Hampshire primary is dying.
Well, one of the questions we have is, obviously, when we were at the house party with Marjorie, like, that sense of community was really obvious, and people were, like, really close, and it was very intimate.
In her house.
Yeah. They're in her home.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you can achieve a similar kind of community in a larger venue like this, where you have lines of people?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. How many people, like, if we went out right now, between the two of us, we would know, like, two-thirds of the people that are in line, because this is our home. Yeah. I'm going to run into half of these people at Market Basket after this, actually,
yes!
You know, and then we're going to pick up our dry cleaning next to each other and be like, oh, I just saw you at the thing.
So from then on, Deborah and Gabby, like, make it their point to show us how an event like this can still be just as effective as a house party at Marjorie's.
Right. And to make their point, they lead us into this big cafeteria where this huge crowd is waiting for Warren. And Deborah starts kind of leading us into the crowd to introduce us to all the people she knows.
Like, she literally was, like, squeezing us through this massive crowd of, like, 700 people just to meet, like, three people. And then meet another person. And then another person.
It's different. Like, right now, here's one person that I sing karaoke with.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, we do karaoke every March.
Where do you do karaoke?
So at the big Planned Parenthood karaoke event. Are you kidding me?
It's annual now. We're about
to. My daughter and I.
And we're not even done with the karaoke discussion, and then Deborah starts kind of dragging us over to talk to another couple.
I saw you guys wave to Deborah on the way in. How do you guys know her?
So, oh my God.
Well, we're neighbors.
We're neighbors. So much more.
So they eventually lead us up to the front row where they're going to be sitting for this speech. And then they leave because they are going to go have a chat with Senator Warren ahead of the event. Basically, what they told us is this was their opportunity to pitch her on issues that mean a lot to them that they hope that she considers if her campaign continues. And that was also kind of a moment for me where I realized that there is a big similarity between the house party and the rally. And that is, the political elite around here, they will continue to have access to these candidates, no matter what form the primary takes.
Right. There are definitely different levels of access to candidates in New Hampshire. I mean, if you're just someone who lives here, it's pretty easy to see a candidate in person during the primary. But to get them to come to your living room or to get a private conversation with them backstage, that takes a bit more. That takes some connections.
Eventually, Deborah and Gabby come back to their seats, and then soon Senator Elizabeth Warren comes out to Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
I listened to this in the shower, babe. I did.
So Warren gives her standard stump speech, and then it's time for questions. And the Warren campaign uses a different system than most campaigns to do this. They have a system of raffle tickets to choose who gets to ask questions at their event rather than raising your hand. And Gabby, one of our tour guides, is actually the person who pulls the tickets out. So she hops up on stage with Senator Warren.
You ready? Oh, look at your cute basket.
All right, you're going to hold the basket.
I like this.
Here we go. Three lucky tickets to ask questions. First one, 8465674. Do we have someone?
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Why did you decide?
Wait. Tell me your name.
Oh, I'm Natalie.
Hi, Natalie. Natalie, would you be insulted if I asked how old you are?
No, I'm 10.
Woo! All right, Natalie, 10 and ready to do a little democracy. Okay, my kind of gal. Okay, Natalie.
Why did you decide to run for, to become a president?
Whoa.
By the way, it just so happens that Gabby apparently knows this girl. Of the three tickets she picked out of this bucket, this is a girl she knows. So after Warren's stump speech and the three questions, there is, of course, the selfie line. And it's one of those things that Marjorie bemoaned to us as a sign of the end of the primary.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. And the photo line for your selfies will start right over here. And folks with kids, you can come to the front of the line.
But perhaps not surprisingly, Deborah tells us she has a very different take on this. She sees the selfie line as a long list of issues, personal issues that people get a chance to present one-on-one to somebody running for president.
So we wanted to talk to some people waiting for selfies about this experience. So near the back of the line, we met a nice woman named Gail Rhodes.
Yeah, so why do you want to wait in this long line?
Because I think she deserves to be thanked for what she's doing, getting out here, as every candidate does. I stood in line to shake Cory Booker's hand just because I wanted to meet him one-on-one.
So it's not about...
Look in his eyes. I want to look in their eyes.
What will you see?
Well, hopefully their soul.
Ooh.
What do you see? Do you see mine?
Yes.
What does it look like?
Very nice aura.
Thank you so much, Gail. You're
welcome.
Near the front of the line, we met Kate Canny and Aaron Basagio.
We're trying to figure out, like, what you say up there. I don't know. It's very stressful.
Okay, well, let's brainstorm.
I know.
So what are your ideas going right now?
Not
like,
much.
It's
nice to meet you. Thank you for
that sounds very positive.
Being here. That's about it.
Thank you for being
here.
In the fight.
I'm rooting for you. I don't know.
So clearly... There's a wide spectrum of the types of
expectations
that people
experiences
have for what's going to happen during the selfie moment.
So then we decided to check back in before we left with Deborah just one more last time. And like Marjorie, she basically says to us, I rest my case. Her case, though, is that large events like this can really create community. It's a thing that can bring people together and energize people.
I mean, it's electric. It's electric. And we are that concentrated, boiled down cider that's about to turn into syrup, you know? Like, there's no more true flavor than when you've, like, boiled all the rest of it out and you're just about to get that awesome apple cider syrup to put on ice cream. Like, that's what is happening in this room right here.
Do you make apple cider syrup?
Yeah. Don't you?
I've never heard of that.
What?
Never.
So
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, don't get Honeycrisp apple cider.
So, Lauren.
Yes?
We saw two very different versions of the primary that's playing out right now in New Hampshire mm-hmm. with two very different takes on what that means for the state. What have we learned?
That even in the Democratic Party, among people who have similar goals, who all want the same outcome from the 2020 election, there are very differing views on the best way to pick a candidate.
But as you pointed out earlier, one thing that is the same is that both Marjorie and Deborah and Gabby, they all have access. They're all in the front row, whether it's the House party or the rally, right?
Oh, yeah. And as long as the candidates keep coming to New Hampshire, I doubt that changes.
Part of the job of Secretary of State is being patient.
Next time on Stranglehold, the date of the 2020 primary becomes official. And we revisit the guardian of the primary.
Patient so that you don't do something and then wish you had waited and did it later.
This episode was reported by Lauren Chulgen and me, Jason Moon. I also produced and mixed this episode. Stranglehold is edited by NHPR's Director of Content, Maureen McMurray, and News Director, Dan Barrick. We had additional editing help for this episode from Erica Janik and Todd Bookman. Rebecca Lavoie is NHPR's Digital Director. Sarah Plord made our beautifully aggressive podcast graphics. We had original music in this episode from Lucas Anderson and me. Additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to Deborah Altshuler, Gabby Grossman, Marjorie Smith, and the Warren Campaign. And, of course, to Lauren's dad, Barry Chulgen, who helped us name this podcast. Stranglehold is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Okay. You want me to actually, like, do my job, is what you're saying. Okay.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.